You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Broke like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we so love playing. The good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
Welcome to Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features discussions with and the music of local musicians. I am your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with folk singer-songwriters Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali, who will be performing on December 5th at the First Friday for Folk Music Concert for two sets beginning at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue in Savannah. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali.
Thanks for having us.
And our dog, Walter, wants to be on this interview. Sorry.
Well, let's get to know the two of you. First, Catherine, tell me your musical journey.
I'm a vocalist. My musical journey started with my grandmother. I was very fortunate. She lived next door when I was growing up. And so I sang with her as a child. We take walks almost every single day, and she would talk to me about plants, and we would sing songs like I've Been Working on a Railroad and Frere Jacques as we walked. And so timing and walking and singing kind of started me off. And she took me to see Gilbert and Sullivan things at the local library, whatever the library program was that we could go to, she took me to, and Disney musicals on Sunday nights. I forget what channel that was, but that was the very beginnings through teenagehood, where I listened to what my older brothers listened to. And that kind of was part of where I came from. And then as a teenager, I discovered Sean Colvin and Suzanne Vega and Bonnie Raitt and so many other female singer-songwriter in varying genres that influenced me. It's hard to fit all of that into one thing, because I believe that who I am today as a writer and performer comes from all of those little things right from when I was a kid. I had an amazing chorus teacher when I was in high school. I was fortunate to be in a school system that valued the arts. And so my chorus teacher, aside from doing the normal things, offered to small groups of students who wanted to learn more to come in. And I learned so much of what I still implement today in terms of the vocal work and practice that I do to him, Mr. Zena, and what he did. And then Jay and I met acting, and a friend of ours, along with Jay and I, the three of us would sit and play together for fun, and realized fairly quickly that we actually were not so terrible, and decided to go try an open mic. And so that was the very beginnings of it. But foundationally, it's everything. It's Gilbert and Sullivan and Disney musicals to Queen and Rush and Beatles and everything that my brothers listened to, and to my own discovering of female singer-songwriter and female performers doing their thing, kind of brought me to where we are.
So Jay, tell us about your musical journey.
Like Catherine's, a lot of my background is in theater. I wanted to be an actor. I've always been a performer. I went to a performing arts high school, which was great. I majored in acting and drama in college, but I didn't pick up a guitar until I think it was my freshman year in college when I started playing. I spent a lot of time listening to James Taylor and Paul Simon and started to learn how to play guitar, trying to emulate folks like that, because I play primarily acoustic guitar. And then, we were doing a lot of theater stuff. Catherine and I met in a theater company.
Musical theater.
No, it wasn't musical. It's funny because a lot of people tell us when they hear us that our music sounds kind of theatrical to them. And then we can say to them, well, there's a little bit of obvious DNA mixed into what the sounds are that you're hearing. But yeah, I didn't start out wanting to be a musician or a guitar player, but I just enjoyed it so much. And well, let's put it this way. My acting career didn't exactly take off. My biggest claim to fame was, and you can find it on YouTube, I was a Star Wars stormtrooper in a TV commercial for Star Wars toys. And I believe I was paid as a piece of scenery that day. So that was the highlight of my acting career. But music, like we could go out and play all the time if you wanted to. And it was super fulfilling. I enjoyed it. Audiences were connecting with stuff that we were doing. And so I just put pretty much all of my creative energy into guitar playing. That turned into recording and production. I have a lot of interest in that. And together, Catherine and I produce other people's music in addition to our own. And I've mixed a bunch of records for other folks.
And again, that was all on your own. You didn't have advanced training in that.
I had almost no training in that. The short answer is I'm mostly self-taught. I've had some friends along the way who showed me stuff, especially at the beginning. My college roommate, Jay Caputo. Hi, Jay, if you're listening. He taught me some basic things, and we were in a band together back then. I did take lessons. I bartered lessons with my friend Glenn Rothell, who would meet with me and teach me some guitar parts. But mostly, I just looked up sheet music. I started before the internet. So I would look up sheet music and find the chord shapes and things like that and just teach myself where to put my fingers and just practice and practice and practice. So yeah, no real formal training. I hope it doesn't show in my playing. I will tell you this though, because I don't have a lot of formal training at guitar, I do play guitar a little bit unconventionally.
Yeah.
And I've leaned into that rather than try to hide from it, which I did for a while. I do lean into it now as a strength. So I really enjoy the things I'm doing. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to learn every day like all of us are.
And I'm glad that you said that because I would agree with that. We tend not to follow, quote unquote, follow the rules. Although I will go back and say that that teacher that I had in high school, those small group sessions were regularly for 4 years, and they were really advanced training, ear training and vocalization techniques and breath work. I do feel like I was formally trained, but within that school setting. So I just wanted to kind of stick that in there for Mr. Zena.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, I think the background in writing comes through, theater drama comes through, because we'll be talking about the new album, Be Brave. And I'm sure you'll be selecting some songs from that for your performance here in Savannah. And that each song is a mini drama in itself.
We have been told that the music does feel kind of theatrical, especially when people see us play live. We like to entertain. We like to invest in what we're doing.
But that theatrical, it doesn't just come from the sound of it. It absolutely also comes from the fact that we're storytellers mm-hmm. in that way. But it's funny to me because there are many storytellers in song, especially in the folk tradition. I mean, who would not be necessarily considered dramatic, but in our case, because there is a bit of that in the music as well, that the fact that it's in the lyrics, sort of those things mixed together, heightens that experience, I think. Plus, I'm not holding a guitar. And so I'm free in that way, that my body is expressive in performance. And I think that also adds to it. I think there's a few little factors that sort of add together to give that feel. Although we definitely don't consider ourselves like theater music, we're absolutely modern folk.
And so, as I said, each of the songs is a story in itself. And the first song is March. Mm. What's the origin of this song?
March had its beginnings probably, even though the song didn't happen then, 15 years ago with a note in one of my notebooks. I keep multiple notebooks concurrently, and I don't write in them in a straight front to back manner. So there's a collection of thoughts and words over years of time. And so there was a time when I was traveling through the Midwest, first tour actually out through the Midwest, and went through a vast field. It was not in season, so it was mowed down. I don't know what it was that was, I couldn't tell that it was corn or whatever, but I mean, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of acres. And the farmer had leased their field clearly to wind power. So symmetrically spaced, there were hundreds of these gigantic windmills, which was fascinating to me growing up on a populated suburban Long Island, an hour out from Manhattan, to see this such a different topography, such a different life, such a different region of the country, sort of blew my mind. And I thought what it would have been like to have grown up here instead of where I grew up. And so I wrote, like, Little Girl Standing in a Field was a note that I wrote. And that was the beginnings of that song, which all these years later, in this current climate, as a woman, as a female writer, that was the beginnings of the thought process behind that song.
Well, you have this young girl standing in the field in Ohio with the wind turbines and pipelines, and ubiquitously through the South here, I know, the crosses by the side of the highway and barns falling down slow. And so you have this image, this very distinct image of the location. Then you have a very distinct image of her, a plain Jane with a name tag in a shopping mall. You know, she's a painted pony with pinch and whistle and no name at all. In a land of sticks and stones, a land of broken homes, and a land of endless greed, a land of make-believe. Such a rich language to describe her environment and her life. This is because this is her life.
She's every girl. She's every girl everywhere. Was the plain Jane name tag in a shopping mall is she could be anybody. She could be any girl, any woman across the country, was something that I was hoping to instill in there.
I'm not sure if you actually said this a minute ago or not, but sure. I know that I've heard you in the past when we introduced the song, sometimes mentioned what it would be like to grow up there.
Okay.
How different it would be, but yes. At the same time,
no matter whatever region of this country, I mean, the country is vast and incredible. And there's so many regional differences. We were talking before we started about the different pronunciations of things from here to there, different food, all the differences that all the regions, both topography and also just culturally of this country have. Despite all the differences, if you are a woman in this country, you will absolutely understand every other woman in this country and the experiences that they've had throughout their lifetime. Because no matter where you grew up, no matter where you live, some things are a through line for all of us. That's the heart of it.
Well, and you mentioned reality TV in the song, and she would be not the star, but she would be an extra. Perhaps a stormtrooper in the back.
I think.
I don't mean to correct you, but a piece of scenery.
Okay.
More or less what it was.
I think something of that is where we are right now as a country has a lot to do with the media that we've consumed. That's part of it. There's so many, it's not simple. It can't be boiled down to one thing or the other. But in the last decade or two, there have been a lot of reality TV shows that sort of celebrate our worst selves because it activates whatever part of the brain that gets people wanting to watch more, that, you know, primitive part of our brain, conflict. Look, in drama, right? You have a play or a TV show or a movie, something has to happen that causes conflict because then it has to be resolved. Right? There's something to do. Otherwise, you're just walking along the street doing nothing. So there's conflict. And so in the reality TV genre, there's conflict is something that is looked for to create an appetite to continue watching because what's going to happen? And part of that seems to have been really emphasizing in an antithesis to how we raise our children. As adults, we watch these shows that celebrate the ends do justify the means. Who's the smartest person who can connive or cheat? Who can manipulate others? It's the worst of ourselves. And we try to avoid reality TV, Jay and I, because I feel like it celebrates not our best selves.
And similar to, the attitude that we have, one of the reasons why we try to avoid that is we try to keep hopeful and positive and forward thinking. And there's a lot of that in the songs as well, where we're finding there's common worries that everybody has, but there are ways to inject hope into almost every situation. And that's a lot of what we do. Especially for a live show, there are some songs that are important to us and serious. And, yes, you know, there's a lot that goes into them lyrically, especially. But we also have a lot of fun.
We definitely, more fun than the heavy, I think.
And some of that is between the songs and some of that is in the songs. I mean, we have a nice sing-along song about a happy cricket who gets rescued from being eaten by birds. But at the same time, don't think there isn't some meaning behind that as well. But we do have a great time. So yeah, we're really looking forward to this Savannah
show. Are you starting
show
to feel that we sound fun. Too heavy, Jay? I think you are. We're not heavy.
Tonight on Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with folk singer-songwriters Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali. Well, this song has a line that reflects at least a sense of in popular culture, which was contributed to by a very popular book about Southern Ohio, Southern Indiana, Northern Kentucky, and Eastern Kentucky, written by a certain official of the present administration. And that is, song that we're talking about is March, and March is the character. And she feels the sting of the needle and hears the buzzing of the gun, which sort of reflects a very difficult life.
She's getting a tattoo.
Oh, okay.
She's getting a tattoo. And it's funny because I sort of thought that most people would understand that. But I think if they don't get that connection, it doesn't matter. Because I think it kind of imparts the same feeling, even if you don't recognize that that's what she's actually doing. So it's interesting to hear you say that and think, yes, okay, he did get the feel, even if it wasn't the specific action that you read into it.
And she's getting a tattoo to mark what? Would you say?
Wow, really? I don't always like to talk specifically about
everything.
I know.
Now I'm interviewing Catherine. Dave is now just an observer.
I sort of like to let people get what they get from it. And I find it interesting to hear back what it is. Because you haven't lived my life. You don't know what I'm thinking and nor should you. So I find it fascinating, or really a great thing, that we can interpret art how we want to interpret art. I don't know exactly what she's having put on her, but I know that she's laying claim to herself by doing it.
Well, you say she always took the blame. She carried the weight of shame. She almost quit the game, but she opens her eyes. She's ready to begin. She wrote it on her skin.
Exactly. And I think every woman will understand those lines that you just read. And hopefully every woman reaches the point, whether she gets a tattoo or not, that she lays claim to herself at some point in her life and says, I own myself. I don't know how to say that any better.
And this is radio, right? So nobody can see this. Catherine is covered in tattoos, head to toe, just completely covered in tattoos.
I do not think that's true.
Neither of us has a tattoo.
What kind of name is that for a girl? March. Would she choose it for herself? Is it a blessing or a burden that she carries through this world? March. It's a fitting description how she gets through her day. Left foot, right foot, gotta keep moving. Gotta keep moving. March in a field in Ohio, a little girl stands and sways, and that's March. with the turbines and the pipeline and the crosses by the side of the highway. It's everything she knows while the barns are falling down slow. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving. She is a plain Jane with a name tag in a shopping mall. She's just a painted pony with a pinch or a whistle and no name at all. Land of sticks and stones, a land of broken homes, a land of endless greed, a land of Maple Leaf. Reality TV. March closes her eyes, thinks back to when she was young. March feels the sting of the needle, hears the buzzing of the gun. She always took the blame, carried her weight of shame. She almost quit the game. March. She opens up her eyes, she's ready to begin. She wrote it on her skin. Left foot, right foot, gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving. Left foot, right foot, gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving.
Well, the next song on the album is very serious, and I don't want to portray this album as being too serious. So I thought we would jump to The Cricket. Mm-hmm. And because The Cricket is a very cute song, and there's some features of the song that I just absolutely adore.
That is always joyful to get to play that with people.
And it is called Cricket. Mm-hmm. And it reflects sort of the fact that I now know that you're from Long Island. It sort of reflects the internationality of certain food types, because indeed it refers to a favorite food truck. And obviously it's a taco food truck because it's Taco Tuesday. And so you head out to a park to perhaps eat lunch with a friend at this favorite food truck. But you then see a whole bunch of birds around you, and these are grackles. These are great-tailed grackles, and they're very noisy with a cacophony that they do produce. And they are seemingly feasting on a whole field of crickets. And you then see this, and you reflect on it, and the reflection is, oh, a slaughter raged on. To the bird's delight, the cricket's plight, with no end in sight, and lost our appetite. That series of rhymes, and it happens again, so we'll talk about some more. It is just adorable.
I'm glad you like it. We love this song. I think the main reason we love this song is because it's a big sing-along for the audience with us.
And the la-la-las. Everyone sings along to those.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a big, fun sing-along. And that is a joyful thing, because getting to sit in an audience and everybody sings along is that's a human thing to get to do. But this song was actually written in Austin, Texas, during the height of a year when there was a massive cricket season. So we had stopped at a hotel, and there were signs everywhere saying, please keep all your doors and windows, like all the windows shut. And if you have a sliding door to like a little Juliet balcony, keep that shut, because there were thousands of crickets everywhere. And it was disconcerting, the number of them. But the grackles were quite happy with that situation. And it felt like watching an episode of Wild Kingdom I don't know if you're old enough to remember Wild Kingdom, because we saw what was a horror show.
We witnessed a scene similar to what appears
in the song. And that definitely went into it. But Austin is famous. New York is as well. But Austin is famous for its food trucks. And so the geographic cuisine was featured.
I'm trying to remember, because I think on the way to that hotel, didn't we pass like a whole bunch of food trucks lined up?
We did.
So I think that's why the food trucks were in your head when you do that.
Probably. Probably so.
Yes.
But it lets us touch on things in a fun, even though it's a horror show of a song, it's also just a fun song. And the rhyming adds to that. I think the rhyming in that one makes it easy for people to kind of go along with the song. They get lost in the song that way, and that's kind of fun.
Well, the farthest I've been out on Long Island is like JFK and Far Rockaway.
Okay.
And so I'm not quite sure what the cuisine is past that point. But up until that point, through Brooklyn, you do have a lot of tacos. So
yes,
I presume it continues.
It does continue. There are tacos here, too. And Jay's favorite cuisine is like a Tex-Mex Mexican.
It is.
So.
And while I love the New York tacos, there is nothing like being in Texas and getting Tex-Mex food there.
That's true. We are actually looking forward to our trip down to Savannah, because there's food there that we can maybe get up here in New York, but it's not going to be as good. Not going to be as good.
On the other hand, there are things that you can get in New York that you can't get down here.
What do you need? We can bring them. Who wants bagels? We'll bring delicious Long Island bagels down to Georgia.
That is one of them. Yes. I mean, not far out of New York, the bagels are just not the same. I don't know. The water bagels that you do in New York is just unbelievable. And yeah, it's something that every time I'm there, I grab a bag and scarf down these bagels.
They say that the pizza dough and the bagels, it's in the water.
It's in the water, yeah. I think they say the minerals or whatever the content of the water is. Although New York water comes from upstate New York. It comes from aquifers that are far, far north. So I wonder if the bagels upstate New York are also delicious.
They must be.
But it's the taste, but also it's the texture, because it's that crusty outer area and the very soft inner area of the bagel. It's just that just come and the millions of types of bagels too.
Should we offer a giveaway for December 5 for the audience members? We'll do a raffle. We'll bring a dozen bagels with us.
God. Right, exactly. A fundraiser. And so when you're sitting there and you're losing your appetite, you rush back to your car hoping that some crickets may have survived. They may still be alive. And what you saw on your windshield, beneath the wiper, escaping his fate, I'll liberate, help relocate, he'll immigrate.
He's giving it all away. That's okay. Yes. There's an underlying hint of a thought underneath the song that's just a fun, silly song that has to do with immigration. There's a little bit of that built into the song that's just fun that I kind of hope that people don't have to pay attention to, and it doesn't have to be a thought that they have, but a little bit in our mind. We were in Austin when this was written, and there was a lot of talk that we had listened to and been part of some of those conversations where people, you know, it was a topic that people were talking about, and we have our thoughts on it too. So there's a little quiet little thought process involved in what outwardly is just a fun song about a cricket massacre. A fun little ditty about a cricket massacre, you know, as you do.
But in the end, you get to befriend a cricket and you share tacos.
It's a happy ending on this song. I'm a big fan of the happy ending. I don't always get them, but I'm a fan of them.
A dear old friend and I had plans to meet, lunch to eat at the food truck, our favorite food truck on Taco Tuesday. Tuesday, la la la, la la la. Found a parking spot nearby, lots of shade for me, right beneath a tree, filled with grackles, great-tailed grackles, they're so noisy, cacophony, la
la la la la la. It was the season of the cricket. Blackfield crickets did abound, could be found on the ground all around. A plague of grackles filled the sky, piercing yellow eyes, rusty door hinge cries, so unpleasant, yet iridescent, purple blue, greenish too, la la la, la la la. The crickets did not sense the danger, impending danger. Watch your backs, your chirps attract, the birds attack, protein snack. Plight with no end in sight, lost our appetite. Back in my car, I fled the scene where I clung to hope. It was a fraying rope. Could any cricket, a single cricket, have survived, still be alive? La la la, la la la. Windshield beneath the wiper, escaped his fate. I'll liberate, help relocate. He'll emigrate. So now, my dear new friend and I, living free from fear, he's safe right here on my front porch, my screened in front porch, sharing tacos, homemade tacos. La la la. La 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 la.
This is WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts, including the Junior American Traditions Competition Finals on Sunday, December 7th at 5:30 p.m. at District Live in the Plant Riverside District, 400 West River Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. Experience the film Music Magic of John Williams on Saturday, December 20th, at both 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. with the Savannah Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Katera Harada, at the Lucas Theater for the Arts. The concert features a 50th anniversary tribute to the movie Jaws, along with music from other great films. More information and tickets for the Saturday matinee performance are available at savannahphilharmonic.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with folk singer-songwriters Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali, who will be performing on December 5th at the First Friday for Folk Music Concert for two sets beginning at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue in Savannah. And to stay in the lighter vein, before we return to the dark side, maybe we should alternate. Yeah, let's return to the dark side. And then get back to being happy again. It's the second song on the album, by the way, is also, I thought, the perfect second song to the first song, because it, to me, is about escaping a life that you've been put into, a life that reflects perhaps women in this country, but certainly reflects women in other countries that we're aware of in terms of being trapped and trying to escape from being trapped. And that in the song is This House.
Again, interesting that that's your experience of the song. I'm fascinated by that. To hear you explain it that way makes me feel like we accomplished something. Because I know as we write, there's never one specific story. There's always bits and pieces of different things that we, for lack of a better way to say it, our songs are collages of our experiences or emotions that we understand from our experiences, then we apply to a different experience as we write it in the song, and other people's stories or news articles or things we're hearing people talking about, just all different things that come into any one given song. But what I might think of or have in my heart as we're writing is not always what everybody else sees in it. And that makes me feel like, yes, we wrote a song that was open enough that somebody can see themselves in it or see something that they're thinking about in it. And that's a great thing. To my mind, a lot of what went into This House is the fact that our experiences when we're growing up, from being small children through our teenage years and maybe now even into our early 20s, those things stick with us in ways that I don't know that we're always even aware of. And all those things that we've experienced, so many of them, especially the negative things, tend to stay with us. And we don't realize as we get older that we make decisions and we live our lives according to things we've experienced when we were younger. And it's very hard to break those patterns. It's very hard to kind of step outside of those experiences and choose to live our lives differently than some of our more negative experiences when we're young. And This House is for me that song. This house is our own physical bodies. It's our own selves. It's the framework that we live within. So to me, not technically an actual house. It's more the metaphor of house for ourself.
And I think you were alluding to this too, though, but it wouldn't just be limited to women's experiences.
No, that's everybody's. Exactly.
Kind of something that applies to across the board to everybody.
Absolutely. I hope it only added to your experience of the song and didn't detract from your experience of the song, because by all measures, what you just said, the song also says all of that. Yeah. And I thank you for telling me that, because now that's something that I also can understand and have in my mind and in my heart when we perform that song, that what you just told me will stay with us.
Well, it does reflect a more universal experience, where the first song, March, the story at least was confined to a certain experience.
Yes.
This is very clearly describing a more universal experience. There's a house you will find all across the country. There's a house you'll find from sea to shining sea. In every shape and every size, from mansions to apartments, you'll find lost but hopeful children just like me. Mm-hmm. And so it is meant to be universal in terms of the effects that, in some cases, family may have on someone growing up. to me, the house is almost synonymous with family and interactions with family members and how that can influence one's life growing up, or one is trying to escape from that. As you broke the windows and the doors and pushed the shards aside to escape from that confinement, however that confinement is, it could be, well, I'll talk about a personal one, and that's a political environment or social environment that one escapes from, that uses, in my case, university to escape from. And so there's a million stories in this song.
I feel so good hearing you say that. Thank you. You've lifted my spirits, I think, definitely. This is true.
You've actually got me a little speechless, Dave. I want to say something like, I appreciate that you've done homework here, but I don't feel like it's been homework for you. I feel like you listened to the record and you got out of it kind of what we were hoping people would get out of it. So I hope that that speaks to people who listen to the album to get a lot out of it. All I can say is just thanks for that. It's really greatly appreciated.
Well, I am obsessed with lyrics. And so I'm obsessed with the literature side of the song as well as the musical side of the song.
Words are powerful. I'm with you.
There's a hole in the wall right behind the dresser. There's a hole in the wall beneath the kitchen sink. There are holes in the walls of every single room inside this house. I scream and I shout every time that I am angry. I cry and I wail every time that I get hurt. I steam and I vent all of my frustrations into every single hole inside this house. This is the house that I was born in, the house where I was raised, the house I live my life in, every single hour of every day. Times I was told I was useless and ungrateful. All the pain and the sadness turned to anger and self-doubt. A foundation built to last beneath my sturdy prison. Though I struggled, I just could not let me out. But the rooms in this house started getting smaller. The walls bulged and swelled, there was no room left to breathe. All the shades so I wouldn't scare the neighbors. Would I die before I found the strength to leave? This is the house that I was born in, the house where I was raised, the house I live my life in, every single hour of every day. There's a house you will find all across this country. There's a house you will find from sea to shining sea, in every shape and every size, from mansions to apartments. You'll find lost but hopeful children just like me. No one else could save me. To decide, I broke the windows and the doors and pushed the shards aside. No one else could save me. I had to make a choice. I chose to let the light in. I chose to let the light out. I chose to raise my voice. Raise my voice. This is the house that I was born in, the house where I was raised, the house I live.
Tonight on Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with folk singer-songwriters Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali. Well, and back to the happy.
Okay. Yes.
And the song is, This is Happy. And it's a wonderful song about different happy experiences. And an old woman in her garden with her hands covered with dirt, she suddenly cries out, "Has this all been wasted work?" But no, this is what gives her happiness, her working in the garden. And so you can look around to know what tomorrow brings, but right now, this is happy. Little children building castles with waves that wash them away. But they don't think about that. They think about the fact that they're with family, a dad there to play with, and it helps them fill their buckets with love and memories and sand.
The lady in the garden has this idea of what her garden should look like, and it doesn't look like what she thought she was striving to make it look like. But then she looked around and saw that everything was thriving and said, "Actually, that's okay too. That's okay. Where I'm at is okay." Isn't it funny? This song was written a few years back, you know, because they're written before they're recorded and put onto an album. But isn't it true that right now we all need a little reminder of all the things we can be thankful for, even when things don't look the way we wish they looked, even when we're not exactly happy with everything that's going on? You could also look around at that same picture around you and say, yes, but this, and there's that, and there's this other thing, and all of those things are wonderful, and I'm going to appreciate those things, because that's part of the picture of where we're at right now, is all the wonderful that's also happening when sometimes the not so wonderful takes our attention and makes it hard for us to recognize.
I don't know what scientifically is behind it, but our brains can tap into outrage very quickly and easily. And there's something about that, I think, that's almost, I don't want to say the word addictive, but there must be a reason why people can focus on the things that make them unhappy, it seems, more than what makes them happy. So it's just a little reminder that for everything that's going on in anyone's life that could be upsetting or terrible, it takes effort, but to really look at the things that could just as easily have happened throughout your day are also really good things at the same time. And so if you could just shift your mind a little bit to just remember to focus on those things, absolutely other things are worth focusing on, but don't leave out the things that are joyful and happy and satisfying. And those are really powerful. And if you leave them behind, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble.
You're missing out on something, right?
So grab a ukulele and sing "This Is Happy," because that's what I do. And every time I hear us playing this song, it reminds me, which is super important.
Yeah,
thanks for pointing that one out.
Well, also, I believe, at least I'm visualizing it now, that this song actually also refers to Jay's imagining of a furry monster with googly eyes and maybe two heads. It doesn't say the googly eyes and two heads. It does say the furry monster who sleeps curled up by my feet. Sweet everyday reminder of all the joys in the simple things. And so that googly-eyed monster with two heads is a simple joy that reminds him of what joy can be.
It is important that you know how much I love a good callback, and you have just pulled off a phenomenal callback to the earlier part of the interview.
Well, it's funny is that Walter got up and he was like, "Wait a minute, thinking they're talking about me in that." Well,
in
I
this
think
case,
that's me, their the furry monster.
The furry monster is more dog-like than you might imagine for us. But for some people, it might be
it
a
might
cat.
Be a googly. But now, next or time we do that song, that's what I'm going to think of as a two-headed googly monster. Thanks for that. That's great.
That's great.
An old woman in her garden stares at hands covered with dirt. Suddenly she cries out, "Has this all been wasted work? I've spent so much sweat and struggle to bring order to this place. All I've got, thriving chaos." Then a smile spreads across her face. Oh, look around, who knows what tomorrow brings? Oh, right now, this is happy. Little children building castles that the waves will wash away. In the sunlight they are laughing, Dad is watching as they play. He knows the day will come when they will let go of his hand, so he helps them fill their buckets with love and memories and sand. Oh, look around, who knows what tomorrow brings? Oh, right now, this is happy. There are mornings when I wake to find my heart has wooden wings. Sure that even at the speed of light, I will never catch my dreams. There's a little furry monster who sleeps curled up at my feet. Sweet everyday reminder of all the joy in simple things. Oh, look around, who knows what tomorrow brings?
There are songs which show a combination of these elements, because there's one song that really talks about dealing with a bully, but has such a light atmosphere as you go through the song. And that's called Rubber Band, because you have a bully who is the target of the rubber band that goes rushing through the room, and there's a collective gasp as the trajectory of the rubber band is apparently going to be right on target. And the sense that there has to be retaliation about this. There's political elements that sort of come up in our society in relationship to any song. And right now we're dealing with a bully who wants to retaliate. And so that is the immediate thought that you have here. This bully is going to turn around and retaliate against the perpetrator of the rubber band firing. But everybody grabs a rubber band and stands there ready to shoot a rubber band. So one does not know who the perpetrator is. And it's just such a wonderful ending to the song.
I never thought of it like that. I never realized.
What are you talking about? What do you mean you never?
No, I never realized that when the bully turns around, he doesn't know who took the first shot.
Oh, that one.
I never thought of that. Yeah. Dave, you've just been a world of surprises for me and things that I will take along every time we do the song. That's amazing. I never considered. I think in my mind, there was a kid that he picked on who finally couldn't take it anymore and shot this rubber band at him. I think that was what it was in my head. But it's so much better to think that he doesn't know who it was, because maybe this bully picked on lots of kids. And finally, one of them said, no more. And then the rest of them said, if we stand together, and isn't that something for right now, having attended quite a number of protests, to see that number of people standing out there saying, wait a minute, I think I have to put my voice to this too. Wait a minute, I think I need to stand up too, to see that number growing each time. It's so how fascinating to think they all stand together and say, you cannot do this anymore. We will not sit silently. And that I just never thought of that he would turn around and not know who it was, that they all stood together. That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the room fell silent. The only sound was the rushing air of our collective gasp. The trajectory of the rubber band was apparent. Time slowed to a crawl if it moved at all while we watched that flight. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? We all prayed and waited. He'd lost his marbles. That kid was twice his size, with stone cold eyes and facial hair. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? We all prayed and waited. Pushed around, time to stand our ground. That kid was junkyard mean. Secretly, we wished we'd done it. Took that perfect aim. That kid cried out in pain as justice stung his neck. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? We all prayed and waited. Slowly he turned to face us. Imagine his surprise when all our steely eyes were trained on him. Rubber bands, and they were aimed at him. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? We all prayed and
Some of the more fun elements of that song are that if you listen to the story of it, the whole song, which is 3 to 3.5 minutes, is a story that takes place in about 10 seconds in slow motion. So that's just always cracked us up musically, that it's basically a slow motion song of a 10 second episode that unravels over the course of about 3.5 minutes. It also combines my love of Henry Mancini with Catherine's love of Suzanne Vega. So musically speaking, we were actually blending some elements of both of those artists into one folk song about standing up to a bully, which is probably just mostly fun for us, but it's fun when other people recognize it as well.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I have an image in my mind, an image of 5 million people with rubber bands.
7, wasn't it? 7 something?
Or 7 million people with rubber bands and frightened looks among Secret Service agents. So we've just gotten into the album, and there's so much more to talk about on this album. Can I have you guys back next week?
I don't see
absolutely.
Why.
Absolutely.
I don't see why not. In fact, I look forward to
We're
it.
We're thrilled to be invited back.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me
let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.